Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 7 today. We're continuing our look at the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And we have come today to this fifth Beatitude, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. Mercy. Mercy is a quality of the Christian life, but the question is, what does it mean to be merciful? And when we think about mercy, we understand, we know that the world does not understand mercy at all. It doesn't have a true understanding of it. Among the Gentiles, the Romans, for example, talked about four cardinal virtues. They spoke of wisdom, they spoke of justice, they spoke of temperance, and they spoke of courage. You notice mercy's not among those important things for the Romans. There is a semblance of mercy, a semblance of this grace in the pagan world at large, but the mercy of the wicked is described entirely in a different way from the mercy that God gives us and the mercy that we as Christians show others. Proverbs 12, verse 10 says, "Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel." Think about that for a second. The mercy of the wicked is cruel. Even the Pharisees, against whom many of these things in the Sermon on the Mount are said, did not really understand mercy at all. They would have said, "Happy are those who are righteous, for God will be merciful to them." In other words, their focus was always upon, let's do this, let's act in this way, and when we do it right, then God shows us mercy. But Jesus is saying something entirely different. What he is saying, as we're going to look at here, and we also see in the Lord's Prayer, what he is saying is that the person who fails to show mercy in this life can't count on God's mercy being shown to him at the final judgment. That's what he says in the Lord's Prayer. That's what he says here as well. And so, sometimes, occasionally, this verse has been wrongly understood. It's been wrongly understood to mean, if you as a believer are merciful toward others, then they will treat you in the same way. Well, no, that's not the meaning, and no Jew in Jesus' day would ever have understood this verse that way. So, what is mercy? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Mercy is love for those who are in misery. Mercy is a forgiving spirit toward the sinner. Mercy embraces the kindly feeling and the kindly act toward others. And so what it comes from, and this is the important thing, this is why it's a Christian grace, mercy comes from your personal experience of the mercy of God given to you in Jesus Christ. Nobody can be merciful the way the Bible describes merciful unless you have received the mercy of God in Jesus first. It's a Christian virtue. It's tied to Christ. And so, B.M. Palmer says in a little book, he says, "The exhibition of mercy, then, will always be a characteristic of a renewed soul. It only comes to those who have been renewed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It only comes to those who are Christians. It only comes to those who have been born again. It's a characteristic of the Christian faith. Because, you see, you have been remade in the image of God, and you are, as the Bible says, now a partaker of the divine nature through the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy is what God is like. He's merciful. He shows mercy. And because you have been born again because you have been made again in the image of God, because you are a partaker of the divine nature through Jesus, you also are to be merciful. You're to exhibit mercy. And so you cannot but help to sympathize with the wretchedness of the human race to which you and I belong. We have to be merciful because we realize what we're like and what God has done for us. You've come, as a Christian, you've come to understand that the source of all bitterness, the source of all sorrow for the whole human race, comes from sin. Now, you're not going to read that in the world. They'll talk about everything else other than sin. They'll talk about economic conditions. They'll talk about education. They'll talk about one group that puts another group down, whoever they might happen to be. But they won't talk about the key issue, and the key issue is the same for all of us, and that is sin. And so you understand that sorrow comes from sin, bitterness comes from sin, all kinds of problems come from sin. And so you've been given a new heart in Jesus. And because you've been given a new heart in Jesus, your heart is sensitive to the suffering of others, and you have a desire, a new desire, to relieve that suffering where you can. And so your mercy is similar to God's mercy. God's mercy flows in two different directions. God's mercy flows toward relieving the woes of people, and God's mercy flows toward pardoning their sins. You, in a similar way, find that your mercy flows in two directions. It flows toward showing charity and help toward those who are in need, and it flows toward forgiving others their sins against you. That's what mercy is like. You forgive others who sin against you. You are to seek, as far as it lies within your power, to cover the sins of others against you by the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. You're not going to hold something over their head. You're not going to hold a grudge against someone. You are going to pray to God to forgive that other person as God has forgiven you. That's what mercy is. So what's the motivation for it? The motivation for mercy is you have received mercy from God in Christ, and that binds you, that compels you to exercise mercy toward others. Because you've received it, you want to exercise it to other people. You show mercy out of gratitude. Out of gratitude for the mercy that you've received in Jesus. Think about what a mockery it would be to plead for God to be merciful to you and yet at the same time to refuse to show mercy to somebody else. And so we find the Apostle Paul telling us in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. That's the motivation. God in Christ has forgiven you, therefore you are to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving. And in Colossians he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Okay, so Paul and Jesus are saying the same thing, which is that you have received mercy, therefore you are to show mercy. Because God has been merciful to you, you are merciful to others. We've got a parable in Scripture that we looked at when we studied the parables together. It's called the parable of the unmerciful servant. And what it shows, what it teaches, is that you are, in the positive sense, it teaches that the spirit of forgiveness in you is the sign of God's forgiveness of you. Okay? If God has forgiven you, you are going to exhibit forgiveness. And so we've got this parable in Matthew 18 that says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like, may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This was a parable that was told in answer to Peter's question, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone? Up to 7 times? And Jesus said, "Up to 70 times 7 times. And then he tells this parable. And it's extremely important to understand what he's saying here. He's not saying your salvation depends upon something that you do, this forgiveness, but rather what he is saying is, you who have been forgiven will exhibit forgiveness to others. And if you don't do that, then there's no real forgiveness that you've ever received. You have not received forgiveness. Well, who are you supposed to forgive? Who are you supposed to show mercy to? The Bible is very clear, Christians and non-Christians alike. In Galatians 6, Paul says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So everyone is who we're supposed to do good to, and especially Christians. And then Jesus is going to tell us in the Sermon on the Mount that even includes our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, if you'll just look down at verse 44. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." The goal is perfection. The goal is forgiveness. You are to be like your heavenly Father. You are to be perfect. And you're to love your enemies. And so mercy is to be shown even to your enemies. It's to be shown to Christians. It's to be shown to non-Christians. It's even to be shown to those people who are enemies of yours. Didn't say it was easy, but that's what Jesus says. Mercy always wins. That's the amazing thing about it. Mercy always wins out. The merciful alone have any right at all to expect mercy to be shown to them. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, we read these words, "With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely. And with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down." And so God shows mercy to those who are merciful. The two things are tied together in Scripture over and over and over again. You receive mercy, you show mercy. Showing mercy is evidence that you've received mercy. That's what's being said. Those who reject mercy find themselves under the disciplining hand of God. Leviticus 26 says, "And if by this discipline you are not turned to me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you. And I myself will strike you sevenfold for your sins." But mercy always wins. Mercy is always victorious. And James says in chapter 2, verse 13, "For judgment without mercy is to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so the reward of God is more mercy. God shows you mercy. You respond to God as a Christian by showing mercy to others. And the reward that is promised to you is God will show you more mercy. The spirit of forgiveness, you see, is an attesting seal of your pardon from God. If you show mercy, you are showing that you have received forgiveness, that you have received mercy from God. The spirit of mercy doesn't come from within you. It doesn't come from any natural ability that you and I have. It is a spirit-wrought divine grace alone. It flows from the freeness of God's forgiving love. And so, throughout your life, Christian, there ought to be this manifestation of God's mercy being renewed to you over and over and over again. Because, let's face it, you and I sin daily. We all sin. We've sinned today. And daily, you and I need the forgiveness of God. Daily, we need that forgiveness. We are shown mercy rather than being dealt with harshly and cruelly. We are given mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is this daily sealing of God's mercy to your heart and to your conscience. Every single day, God shows you mercy. Every single day, He makes you aware of that. Every single day, He is merciful to you. And this mercy of God that He shows you day after day after day will be publicly proclaimed on the last day. You see, you receive mercy from God, but it's not something that the whole world sees all the time. It's not something right now that everybody else can necessarily tell. If you're merciful to others, they see you being merciful, but they don't necessarily see how God has been merciful to you. He's shown you mercy in private. But on the last day, He will declare to the whole assembled universe at the last judgment His mercy to you in Jesus Christ. And so there's this wonderful order that's set forth in Holy Scripture here. You, the elect of God, you receive mercy in the Lord Jesus. You therefore, show mercy to others out of gratitude for the mercy that you have already received. And God pours on more mercy. God showers you with more mercy in keeping with your expression of mercy and forgiveness of others. In keeping with it. And so, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the things that Your Word tells us about mercy. Thank You for the fact that You show us mercy. We do praise You, Heavenly Father, that You have given us mercy in Christ, that You renew that mercy every single day, that You are faithful in doing that. You are faithful in forgiving our sins. You are faithful in showering mercy upon us in Jesus day after day. We thank You for the wonderful promise that on that last day, we shall indeed see those final and great and wonderful mercies given to us in Jesus. Please bless us to be a merciful people because of the mercy shown to us in Christ. We pray in His precious name. Amen.